G'day guys, it's Ruben Jimby from the West Coast Eagles. Can everyone please tune in to Eagle Nation?
Well, it was a game to remember for Eagles fans and it was one to forget for Fremantle fans. Eagles kicked the first seven goals and never looked back as their pressure was immense. Their skills were crisp and Elliot Yeo continued the great form which should have him in all Australian contention. And then there is a Harley factor. But before we discuss that and him, I welcome Wayne and Dan. How are you going, boys?
Going well. Doing, two in a row.
Yep, doing well. And thank you for that introduction there, Jimby. Much appreciated.
Yeah, thanks, Rubes. I got that the other night when I was talking to him and Harley and giving him a bit of advice against how to hit those jetty lickers. No, I can't take any of that. Thanks to Tom at Plus Fitness at Subiaco for jumping on the board as a sponsor. And go to Linktree where you can access all our socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, download any of the episodes from there. So if you've been living under a rock, yes, West Coast did beat Fremantle, 16 goals 9, 105 to 10 goals 8. And I don't think any one of the 54,473 people at the ground saw that coming. Did you see it coming, Wayne?
No. Oh, sorry. Let me.
Actually, I think I was the only way.
Don't be modest here, Wayne.
Wait. I think I was the only one who tipped him in bounce down.
You did? Didn't I? You were the only one. I tipped in 3 by 12 points, but I'm the only one in our. On the group, did my picks for the tipping in my group I'm in, I was the only one that picked them out of 22 guys, and they all said, "You're crazy." And then I had some Eagles supporters, and I said, "I don't know." I think I said last week, if we're within two goals at three quarter time, we're a chance because Freo had been rolling over the last few weeks, but didn't need to worry about that because Freo weren't even within two or three goals of us at three quarter time. So
yeah, let's be honest, it was a great game, but we need to be realistic where we're at. We got that young core group of players.
Don't put a damper on it, man.
No, but there's going to be inconsistencies. So yeah, we are going to get these games where we get these great wins and we're rank outsized because I think we're paying like $4 or $5 for the win or something. The odds were stacked against us. So no, I didn't really expect to win. There's all that small part that you hope we win. And I think that's going to be our year, us for the rest of the year. We're going to have these great games and then we're going to have some not so great games, you know. And over six rounds, that's what we've seen already this year, you know what I mean? And let's just hope that we've got more of these good games to keep us going throughout the year to help mellow us out on the lows that are obviously going to come, why we are rebuilding and why we are developing these young kids.
Well, before we break down the game as it is, I'm going to give you some positives and negatives and we'll discuss those. So the positives.
Wait. Negatives?
Well, there
After
is a negative.
That game?
There is a negative. So there's always a negative in a game.
Yep.
So the positive, West Coast, first back-to-back win since round 18 and 19 back in 2021. It's the first derby win since round 7, 2021. And it's the sixth highest over a score since 2021. So those all things went really well for us. We piled the first seven goals and had a 41-point lead. And in the second quarter, it took the Dockers nearly 14 minutes to even get inside the 50, so our defence stood up. And that's where a lot of people forget. That's where the game's won sometimes. The negative was the last quarter, Fremantle kicked 6 goals, 3 to our 2 goals. We were probably spent, but, you know, they got their tails up and they went down the guts. And that's what they were trying to do the whole game. But we were just good overall. So that was the only negative I could see. And the only other negative was it just went like that. And I had to go home and watch it again.
Yeah.
Because I was pinching myself. Did that just happen?
Yeah.
So if you guys want to discuss any of that stuff there.
Yeah, the last quarter was a bit of a worry. But in saying that, the first three quarters I think we ran really hard. And we were running through the – that's the best I've seen us do for – I'd go back to as late as 2019. Best I've seen us go through the middle of the ground.
We controlled the corridor.
With no question.
And pushed them out wide.
Yep.
They tried to go back to their stop, go slow, chip kick, thinking, oh, we're going to chip through the Eagles. And in the first 15 minutes, they had a lot of the ball.
Yeah.
But they just bombed it into the forward line. And missed easy goals, you know what I mean? I'd be worried if I was a Freo fan because if you're going to play like that, you're going to get opened up by a lot. If we can open you up like that, they weren't ready for us to go down the guts.
I think too, simple. One thing I've always, and you guys know what I've always said about accountability is my favourite word in coaching. And I think the great thing on the weekend, and I said last weekend in the podcast, we have to make their defenders like Luke Ryan and Alex Pearce accountable. We cannot let them just do what they've been doing the first five rounds and run and get multiple possessions and put them into attack. I hardly saw Luke Ryan. Alex Pearce, he had to think twice on Jake Waterman because Jake actually chased him as far as he could down the ground. I only saw him get away once. And I think that was the great thing was we actually made them accountable in their back line. And how many times did you see Jordan Clark running down the backs, down the wings like he normally does? I hardly saw him doing it because they were holding him. I saw at one stage Ryan Marrick absolutely nailing Luke Ryan, was not letting him run anywhere. And he wasn't – and I think I asked you if you're at the ground, you see him, you couldn't – you weren't sure. But that was only what I saw on the telly. But that made me think, well, he's probably been – multiple guys have been doing this. So I think their accountability on the weekend was outstanding.
Yeah, and it was. The defensive pressure was good. The thing about the forwards was they were leading. Mm-hmm. And instead of waiting for us to kick it in deep, we were actually leading.
Yeah.
And that broke up Fremantle's intercepting because they were always double thinking where they were going to go. And our kicking was pretty good. I'll have a look at the kicking efficiency. I think it was I think we were heaps better than they were. But
there was a lot to unpack in that game, though, and just what we said then, because I always knew they would come back. You know, we've talked about momentum swings in the games. You can't dominate an entire game. That's very rare from where we've been. But we just played such good footy and got so far in front. No matter what they threw us, they could never get back to the front, you know, and get those 4 points, basically. Also, just defensively, yeah, I agree. We were so good in defence, like, and everyone contributed. And a funny one I noticed too, and you'll like this, Wayne, was Rotham. He's still a very old school defender, Rotham. Oh, yeah. He doesn't leave the player alone. He's within like 50 centimetres of his opposition player the whole time. He doesn't drift off. And I actually thought of you when I saw it, because he was on Walters. And Walters was trying everything to get away from him, and just Rotham just did not let him for that period of time. And that was great. And then the forwards part, we're talking about them leading, was so great. But we beat Luke Ryan and Pearce because of our game stop. They chipping around in defence, and kind of a boring style of footy to watch, where we've talked about this year how we're trying to go quicker. We're trying to go the corridor, but we'll go down the wing even as long as it's quick play. Right. And that's what we did. And Freo couldn't slow us down at all. And that's why Luke Ryan and Pearce couldn't implement. They didn't have time to set up. They didn't have time to zone off. It was so under duress, basically. And that was attacking from our back line and our midfield, who again just really stood up, didn't they? And I thought too it was great coaching by Simo, because Nat Fife's a bull, but he's not a great kick. So what they're doing now, and Fife has said this himself, where his job now is to bring the other players in, so the Sarong, you know, the Young, the Brayshaw. So he'll get hands out to them. And they said, fine, we'll let you get as much as the ball as you want, Fife, but we're going to make sure we lock down on these other players so you can't get the handball to them that are the better kickers. Mm. So we forced Fife to kick down the line a lot, and that's why you saw Barras and Gov just have a field day, and even young Hoff too, actually. He took a few intercept marks. I think Duggan was one of the best intercept marks, because it didn't matter who it was, because we were forcing them to bomb it long and weren't letting them to set up play with their playmakers. And that's a coaching box thing. That's matchups. That's who you're going to target and get them to try play a game style you want them to play. And the defence was just so switched on. Well, I think they were actually the highlight of this game. Would have actually, you know, we'll talk about the others later, because they get all the plaudits because they did have the best games on paper and that. Mm. But the defence as a whole was just amazing. To hold Freo scoreless in that first quarter, and we got 45 points to 3 points before they kicked their first goal. Yep. It was just remarkable to watch.
And Tom Cole's really hit some form in the last 3 or 4 weeks too.
You just said Nathan Fife. He still had the most handballs in the game, but they were ineffective.
Yeah.
They were little ones over the top, and some of them looked like froze to me.
Sorry, just quickly, it probably feeds into what I just said too, how we'll force him to kick down the line, because he was still trying to find that hand pass, and they're ineffective because we were waiting for it. We're allowing him to get the ball, but we're making sure he can get it out to Sarong. Do you know what I mean? Or Hayden Young, you know. He didn't want them to have the ball. So he's trying to hand pass to them, but we're locking them down.
He had 27 disposal net five and 13 clearances. Mm. Now, usually when you see those stats, you say it's damaging. Mm. But out of those clearances, only four were effective. Yeah. So, you know, and like you said, we let him get the ball more than, say, Sarong got the same amount of possessions but wasn't damaging. Brayshaw, probably one of the lowest games, worst games I've seen him play, but he still had 27 possessions as well, but they just weren't damaging.
Yeah, they were getting them in the
back line. I just want to bring up a stat here, if I can open this back up. The contested possessions. Now, last year, the year before, and even the year before that, we were ranked 18th in the league for contested possessions. We won the contested possession count by 22, I think it was. Let me have a quick look here. I can't do maths here, 26 maybe. 24. That's a massive upside. And do you know where we're ranked this year for contested possessions?
We'd have to be in top five, isn't it?
We're second
after
that round. We were fifth last week. Now we've moved up second. And it shows you, the people that are talking about game plans, that there just shows you the subtle shift in our game plan.
Yeah.
Where when we put pressure on the ball carrier, we look so bloody good. And it's just about doing that each quarter, every quarter. You're going to have your lapses. Every team has them. But if you keep doing them, you do it for more than three quarters, you're going to win a game of football. And that's what we're doing. And we've always talked, and you've heard me say this a lot, Simo, put somebody behind the frigging ball. We did on the weekend.
Yeah.
The whole game, we had a player behind the ball. So maybe he's listening to fans out there as well, are reading comments, because it's amazing what happens when you say your defence wins game and Barras and McGovern, they were unbelievable. Barras, it was like turning back the clock watching Barras.
Yeah. Best game of the year.
You know
year.
What I mean? Yeah. He was brilliant, and we'll talk about the Barras incident later on, but he was unbelievable. And like you said, everyone in the back line, even Wibben. I thought Wibben played really good. And Rotham. Rotham, you can't drop him now.
Yeah. No, see, I think Rotham had last quarter on Walters, but Brady Hoff had him for most of the game and did a great job on him.
Oh, Brady Hoff's gone under the radar, man.
Yeah. I think
you if he was in Melbourne, they'd be talking him up, mate.
And the contested possessions you talk about, I tell you now, in the last 2 weeks, Jake Waterman and Tom Barras, they would have the highest percentages of those contested possessions. I mean, Waterman took another five contested marks again on the weekend. And Barras, and I mentioned Dan on Saturday after the game, he was involved in, I heard this stat on the radio, he was involved in 17 contested marks. He took six of those he took. Dan counted five, he took six, and he had 11 marks.
Yeah, 11 marks all up, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously you get those other little ones that, the kick around the back line and that. But to take for a fullback to take seven contested marks, I mean, and same with Jake Waterman, his contested marking in the last, I made mention last week, he's not taking marks like a true four forward out the front, the ball's getting delivered onto his tip. He's actually taking them under great pressure and he's holding those marks.
Well, while we're talking about the contested ball, I'm just so glad it wasn't empty words, because the two things we heard, well, it was kind of three things over the entire preseason, is we're working on clearances, contested ball and ground ball gets, because that's where we've been poor at. So we're top of ground ball gets. We're second for contested possessions of comp. And over the last month, we are number one for scoring from clearances and centre clearance. Did you know that as well? So it's not empty words. The things they've said they're working on, that's what they're building the new game style around. Well, we're seeing the results, even if we're not getting all the results we want. And right now it sounds funny saying that, because we've been competitive against Sydney in two wins, which we didn't think would be in this position, did we? But we still saw that we were such a better clearance side, that we are getting the ground ball gets that have been poor at, and we are winning contested possessions the majority of every game. Like, it's
and
just
our skills
great
have improved in 2 weeks. Mm. The Fremantle, they won all the stoppages. Well, they beat us stoppages and hitouts, and they had eight hitouts to advantage that advantaged them for one possession, and then we turned it over And, you know, so we sort of nullified their dominance in that area, you know what I mean? And that's good because that means we didn't have everyone on the inside. So that's probably where the first 3 weeks we were too many of us on the inside. Just looking at some of the other possessions, you know, we won the marks 101 to 94. We had more marks inside 50. We had, like I said, 17 contested marks to 7. Mm. It makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Tackles were pretty even. Your turnovers, they had more turnovers and we capitalised on them for once. And we scored from quite a few of them. So, yeah, it's amazing how much when you put in an effort and put pressure on a ball carrier is good. So, you got to be pleased with that. But the thing is now is to take that into the next game and try and do the same.
Yeah.
With Fremantle, like you said, Jordan Clark didn't have his usual dominance off the halfback flank. He ended up with 24 possessions and 6 rebounds, but they were probably all in the last quarter. Because he just didn't get his running. They missed Jai Miss. Let's not sugarcoat it.
No.
When he went out, they had to change their game plan up and that aided us, but plenty of times it's worked against us before, you know what I mean? So
and the form Tom Barras is in was in on Saturday, I'm not sure if Jai Miss would have got near the ball.
Probably not. And this is one of the biggest telling things if I'm a Fremantle fan, and I like this kid. I've always liked the way he plays, but his kicking is atrocious.
Mm.
Bailey Banfield, 4 shots on goal within 25 metres,
yes,
and scores 4 points. Mm. 2 of those ended up being 12-point plays to us because we went down and Cripps twice kick goals. So if I'm a Fremantle fan, I'd be looking at those things instead of whinging about umpires like a lot of people at the crowd were doing. I had nothing to do with the umpire, and honestly, it drives me nuts when you guys just find every excuse other than the excuses that are right in front of you.
And Josh Tracy twice in front, dead in front, and he missed last week. He didn't miss a thing last week. He kicked 4.
He's good when he's straight. Further out.
Yeah.
When he's further, he's got a big kick.
He was in the zone of, 40 metres out, directly in front twice, and he sprayed him. So.
And Hayden Young, I think, did a hammy in the last quarter.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
So that's why they took him off. So they say in a strain, it's a watch thing. So they said they were getting smashed. So why?
I'll tell you what, though. They're not they're in a funny place, Freo, honestly, because not on the weekend because we showed them up, but they dominate midfields. They have been recently. It's been crazy to watch. We talked about last week before the game, Pierce and Luke Ryan down back. You know, they're quite good down back. They've got 3 first-round picks this year, but they'll all probably be ones in the teens, most likely. I'll throw all 3, and I'll move heaven and earth. They probably won't do it to get Logan McDonald into that side. If they could get a young power forward into that side, because their miss is great, but he's a low possession getter for quite a large rewards kind of thing. He doesn't get much of the ball, and he's not a big pack mark. He's not a strong player. His skill is he's very accurate, you know what I mean? But really, he should be the second string player. He shouldn't be having Harris Andrews on him. He shouldn't be having Wiedemann on him. He shouldn't be having, you know, Sam Taylor on him. You know, he should be getting the second defender on him. So, yeah, I would bundle up my 3 picks, first-round picks, if I was free, and I would just do everything I could to get Logan McDonald in there.
Well,
because if they could – I know it won't probably happen. But
he's just re-signed, isn't he?
He's not signed yet, has he?
No, well, he said on radio the other day,
yeah,
I'm not going anywhere.
I know that, but until you're –
yeah,
names written
money,
down.
Yeah,
this
money
is all
talks.
Theory. And I'm just using him as an example because he's a WA boy and he's not contracted right now.
Yeah.
But that's their drum. They need to fix that. That forward line was just – and I know because our defence just – we talked about our defence. It was just all over them. And that was their weakness, you know, because they still had plus 40 or 40 inside 50s. It's just – and they had for weeks. It's been their Achilles heel, so that's just something.
But they haven't
need to
kicked
fix.
Big scores when they've won their games.
No, they've relied on defence.
Yeah,
the only game they have was against Brisbane.
Yeah, they've been very defensive, and they're a very good defensive team. But, you know, I take my hat off to guys like Ryan Marrick, Noah Long, even Chesser when he was down there. They just put pressure and pressure and pressure on their players. And
that's what we've been talking about for 6 weeks. Yeah. Pressure, 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 and it works.
How good was Chess's goal, though? Like around 3 plays, and then you look on the camera. I don't know if you saw it as well on the ground.
They scooted
there
in.
There's 5 Freo plays all swarming him and he just gets around and they get that kickoff fly.
Yeah,
it was good. I couldn't find too many bad players, if any, on the ground. Let's get to the Eagles because it is an Eagles podcast, not a Freo one. So, you know, we do our voting and, you know, we get 3 votes each. And it basically ended up being Yo 7, Waterman 6, Reed 3, Kelly 1. And Yoey's now leading the leaderboard by 10 over McGovern. Waterman's on 15, Reed's on 11, Kelly 9, and a couple of others are on minors. I think we're pretty accurate because in the top four in the Ross Glendinning medal made the votes were those four, Yoey, Waterman, Reed and Kelly. So did they get the medal right? At the ground I had Waterman, but once I watched the game, I had to give it to Yo.
I had Yo he got our first goal in the first part of the game.
But if you go on impact,
you go to Harley Reid.
You have to go on Harley Reid because he changed the game.
Yeah.
And I've been going to Eagles live games for 37 years, right? And I can count the people that have excited me. Peter Matera, Chris Judd, Nick Natanui, what they do on a footy field. The stuff that kid is doing in his sixth game is mind-boggling. And he is so confident. And everyone's talking about the pack mark in the goal square and then the big mark he took. The highlight for me was when he put Nathan Fyfe on his friggin' ass in the middle of the ground and the crowd all saw it.
And
Fyfe instigated it.
And you look at the replay, and Fyfe's looking at the umpire, where's my kick?
And he's like, and it. I'm sitting there going, that was absolute brilliant.
Yeah.
I just sat there and it's like Dan said, you know, a lot of people, you'd ask who their favourite player is and it's a lot of people are saying Reid. You know what I mean? And he's played 6 games. And I don't want to – everyone's talking about him, but you can see why.
Yeah. The thing too
– and thanks for doing the intro last week as well.
Yeah. And I think too, I mean, like I said, I've been on this kid for 2 years, I'm thinking.
Your adopted son.
We've got to get him. You know, like, it's what he does. He brings other people into the game, and this is what I think he has done. Look at the coaches. We're all sacking the coaches a month ago. The coaches have even lifted their game in the way we're playing with stoppages and, you know, flow and everything. And you look at things like, you know, I've never seen Elliot Yo such a more of a team man as I've seen him now. And he's obviously taken him under his wing. You can see they're talking to each other every time.
Oh, yeah. They're waxing on and off out there.
And you see Ryan Marrick played a great game. And they're good mates. Noah Long played, you know, he played a pretty, he had a good first half, probably quieting down the second half. Even Chessa has his moments. He's probably not getting to the end, but he's showing impact moments. And he's bringing, like, he bursts down the middle. And how many times did Yo get that handball off him just and booting it long? And you can see everyone's just gravitated to him. And why don't you build your team around him? We did around Nick Nat. We did it around Judd and Cuz and Kerr. Let's build it around this kid. Why not? I mean, we've got to take it while we can because who knows how long he's going to be with us. Hopefully he's going to be with us for a long time.
Well, hopefully next week he signs, but that's another story for another podcast. But,
you know, let's build our team around him, bring everyone in, and you watch the impact that we're now bringing players to us. It will bring players to the club because they know we could be successful with him in the team.
Before you have a bit of a say there, Dan, just want to go over the stats. Yo, 26 disposals, 6 clearances. He had 507 metres gained, 7 inside 50s. Jake Wadham, like you said, he's hitting thirds on the Coleman. So, you know, I'm glad that kid's having a great season, what he's gone through. Harley Reid, 19 disposals, 3 goals, 7 clearances. He had 8 disposals and 3 clearances in one quarter. We basically talked about Jinby a little bit. He had a great game as well. I think, Dan, you said he was one of the best in the second quarter with 8 disposals. Darling, you know, probably didn't get the plaudits, but I thought he worked his ass off.
Played well.
And if he didn't grab it, it'd come to ground. And the Smores were at the feet for once.
And he'll pass Sumic in the next few weeks.
Well, he needs one more goal.
He's equal with him. So.
He needs one more goal.
For a centre-half forward to get 520-odd goals.
515 he needs.
That's bloody awesome.
And Jeremy McGovern and Brass we touched on, they were unbelievable. And like you said, we wouldn't be in this position if we didn't have our seniors out there and the seniors are playing. And it's putting the waffle. We got didn't have to bring Ryan in. She'd come in and only played about 7 minutes of the game. Mm. So we're lucky we're in that spot because we haven't been in that spot for three years. So, and you just basically said Ryan Marrick at the ground, he's got a new haircut. So people at the ground were thinking it was Bailey. And I'm sitting there going, Bailey's having such a freaking great game. And then, oh, it was Marrick. And then it was the other way. Oh, Marrick. He's got, no, so it's Bailey. So it was really hard to tell the difference at the ground. But, yeah, he had a good game. And you can see the effect that Harley's had on, say, him.
Mm.
He kicked a goal after the siren at the third quarter.
Oh, yeah.
And last year he would have gone there and they would have tapped him on the shoulder and they walked off. Everyone just ran to him and hugged him and everything. That was brilliant, you know. Mm. And he gave it to the crowd, like, let's get up, you know. So that's what the vibrancy's there. So your turn, Dan.
My turn. I try and temper it with Harley Reid because, you know.
Don't temper it. Come on.
I don't want to buy into it and stuff, but it's real.
Yeah.
You know, it is. We talk about it every week and I'm like, are we being oversaturated with Harley Reid? But he is that good. Like, you hear things, they're already saying he's a top 5-10 player in the comp now. And we talk about contracts a lot and we can't even give you a definitive answer because I don't even think anyone knows, even the media, they're not even giving you the right information on these contracts. I don't know the rules with it. But you would lock him in. He would be your million-dollar-plus player. Mm. You would sign him, and players like to sign for free agency. And to us, that's a win, just getting the free agency. Like you said, Wayne, like you could build a club around Reid. You're 100% right because that's how Tigers won it. You know, and they wouldn't like to hear it because they do have good players. But it was Dusty. I've never seen a player perform in finals like Dusty did, you know what I mean? And he won them, you know, 3 and 4 years. So you can do that. And the foundation's already there. We talked about Waterman. He's only 25. He'll be there. Brass will be there for a few years. You know, he's only 28. And then you've got the Jimbies and the Hewitts around him, you know, the Chesses, the Noah Longs, you know, the Brockmans, like the real young kids that'll be there. You know what I mean? Yeah. So these players aren't going anywhere. So you've already got that foundation. Plus whoever we bring in from here on out will just strengthen that. So he is that important. And as I said, six games in, I feel like I shouldn't speak so highly of him. And I'm like, just calm down, West Australian. Calm down, Vic Media. You know what I mean?
But it's
true. It's there. Like, you can't deny the impact this kid is having. I have never, ever seen anything like this. People are saying now, who would you pick, Dacos or Reid? People are already saying Reid. And Dacos was one of the best players we've seen come in the comp for a long time.
He still is.
He is, and then you.
You know he's made an impact because you have Max Gawn sitting there going, put him on the back pages of every paper.
Yeah,
then
you got the Vic ones. Yeah,
you got Dan Hannabury saying, "What? You got other players from other clubs that are playing football now that are actually talking about him." The only thing that says to me is, they're coming for you, Harley.
They're planning.
They're coming for
you. Everyone's planning to get him.
They're going to come to try and knock you off your perch. At that function I went to last week, that's what he thrives on. He goes, you come at me, I'm going to take you on. I don't care who you are, I'm taking you on because I'm going to back myself. So they're coming for you because they're talking about you and I think that's just going to add flames to how good he is, you know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing. We got him for 3 years and I don't think he's going to go up the threes. He might not be an Eagle for life per se. I'm not even worried about that. No, yeah, but he will sign another contract because he made a big thing about players getting drafted to the club and not rewarding that club. He joked about Horn Francis going back, but I'm not going to besmirch Horn Francis because my opinion of Ruse is going down by the week, which is amazing thing to say when they're already at the bottom, you know what I mean? But they are, I just think. And how ridiculous are they in hindsight, and everyone's an expert in hindsight, that they just played stupid ball. They're the one team club that could offer something to lure that pick one off us last year, and they just played stupid games. Demons, on the other hand, they didn't have enough to offer, but they offered everything they could. Pick five, first round this year, the second round. The Roos were giving us their late teens picks and not
It's worked for us, hasn't it?
They've been smart asses.
How ridiculous is it now in hindsight that trade didn't go down and now we've got this read and the media's just changed.
Changing the narrative.
And then now Roos are under the spotlight. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
last year I reckon they'll listen to Sam McClure too much.
Sam McClure. I'm not giving that guy any.
And I'll stand on this, and I think it was a tinfoil hat moment last year, that media like Sam McClure are so heavily influenced by certain clubs they have connections to or within. Because why wouldn't Demons try scare Eagles off saying Harley doesn't want to come here and throw that narrative out when they're trying to give us a deal to get that number one pick? Because it only just strengthens the Demons' position. So I don't buy into any of that. And just quick before we move off, because it was Harley Reid. But we did mention Jimby in there. Also, Wayne Wazza sold me out a bit there. That was under confidence that Reid's now my favourite player. So if you read between the lines, that's what he was getting.
He's everyone's favourite player.
How can he be my favourite player for six games?
He's mine.
I'm embarrassed to say. That's what I want to talk about because
I'm not embarrassed. I'm lapping it up.
Let's talk about Jimby for a second because he's great. But that second quarter, he had 8 disposals, 4 clearances, and 8 of those disposals were contested, but he still went at 75% disposal efficiency, which is really good. Once he gets a 4-quarter game from that, like a 4-quarter effort, that's amazing because that's a mammoth second quarter. Like 8 disposals, 8 of them contested. As I said, 4 clearances. As I said, the pillars are around there. It's not just the Reid show. It's just, he's the flashy one front and center.
He's lighting the flame. He's lighting the flame. Everyone's flogging him.
Let me just flog this once.
I want to get in before I forget this, right? Brockman, and I know you've been hard, and we all have, on the weekend, and you just said something about Yo where he's more invested in the team, right? Now, I thought Brockman had a pretty good game. Mm. Didn't get any goals, but he was there and he fed it off. And he had one mistake. The first person that went over to him was Yo, sat there, and he just said,
backed
him up, said, don't worry, get back in there and do it. The next thing you know, when we back into the next quarter, he was the first one, linked it up, and we got a goal out of it. So just good to see little things like that that you probably don't see all the time. So.
And on the Harley train, and you got to admit, I was the leading locomotive on the Harley train. For 2 years, I said, when I saw him that game where he was that state of – it was that Victoria Country Vic Metro where he started halfback, had 16 possessions in the first halfback, and they put him to forward line with Cadman, GWS number one pick, and they were 6 goals down. They lost by 2 points. But from that point on, I was just hooked on, we've got to get this kid. And last year when Aaron said, we can trade him for these picks – I said then he's worth three players in top 5. He's better than all of them put together, and I'll stand by it. And I think I remember you might have remembered. I said he's the closest thing I've ever seen to come to is Chris Judd. He's the only player I've ever seen. I didn't even have Dacos rated in near Chris Judd. He was if you look at now game 5, when did Chris Judd come onto the scene? Game 5, Brisbane kicked 5 goals, went bang. We never look back with him, and I reckon we're not going to look back with him.
I remember seeing Chris Judd's first game at East Perth, right?
It was the only game he played.
Only game of Waffle. And afterwards, Tony McHale says, you'll never see this guy in Waffle again, right? And I was there, and that day I sat there and went, that was brilliant. Mm. And as you said, went on, made name. Mm. Harley Reid eclipsed that on Saturday night. I just sat there and just went, honestly – and I don't like speaking, like Dan said, didn't want to get into the hype. You know me, I've been the devil's advocate the whole time, but how can you not buy into the hype, man? It's just freaking brilliant and so freaking cheeky. What he did with David Mundy afterwards, that was brilliant. He knew exactly what he was doing. Mm. He knew he was going to generate media and – you know, Mundy, he was great too.
Yeah.
His reply back, well, if you had a touch it in the first 15 minutes, would have given it to you.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. It was just brilliant banter. Yeah. So fans out there, don't buy into the shit that media push across. Mm. It was banter. Both of them had a laugh at each other and it was great. You know what I mean?
It was great what Jake Waterman, as though he saw that interview after the game and he said, I've seen you do things at training. He could do a little bit better. It was great.
He said he's even better.
And they're having a bit of fun with each other.
No, it's
great seeing the guys having a laugh at the end of the game.
No, Wayne's right. He said oh, he could do better.
Oh, yeah, did he? I thought he said he's even better.
He could do better. And then they all burst out laughing. You know, like, yeah, it's great. It was great. And that's what the club needs. And
well, how good is it? The Eagles, we're talking about Eagles in a good light.
We had 55,000 people there on Saturday night. I mean, shit.
We're talking about in a good way. We're not sitting there.
No.
We're not dwelling on the niggas. We're looking at the future now. The thing is, we've got to back that up.
That's right.
So if you go out and play Gold Coast and get walloped by 50 points, they're going to say, well, here we are. And the media is going to jump back on the narrative again. Well, flash in the pan, Eagles, they had a little bit. But we just got to keep that up. And as long as we're competitive, we're going to be in games more than we're not. So
got to be competitive. That's all we're going to be. That's what I think us three have all said that. Just want to see them competitive and have a crack.
And, you know, when we think about it, before the season we said if we got all our senior players in, we should be looking at 8 wins, right? And we already got 2.
Yeah.
And one of them was the one that I hadn't marked down. So technically we could beat Gold Coast. Then we could beat Essendon. Can't remember who we got after Essendon. But, you know, what happens then when you get on a roll? You never know what confidence does and winning is grinning. So, but I'm going to bring a damper down on it now. Did you watch the waffle?
Yes, I watched most of it.
Did you watch it, Dan?
I saw 3/4 of it.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
Now, if you didn't watch it, that was a precursor to the game. Peel 18-15, 123 to 7 goals, 13-55. You know, the first quarter I thought was pretty competitive.
Mm.
But after that, we were shit.
Oh, I made mention. I said, geez, young Archer Reid looked good in the first quarter. Yeah, kicked a goal, had 3 kicks and from that point on, I never looked at him.
Sorry, I was just confused. I thought waffle wrap was.
Wasn't going to do a big waffle wrap because it was, to me, I don't think there's much to really talk about that game because they were utterly, the skill, it was like watching a totally different team from last week. The numbers say they did all right. True, 27 disposals. Jones, 22. Baker, 19 and 8 marks. Johnson, 18. Liam Ryan, 17 marks. I mean, 17 disposals, 2 marks, 5 tackles. Virgil, he did it right, 12 disposals. But to me, they just – I don't know what it was. It was just like that is Fremantle's aligned side.
Mm.
And I know we've talked off air about who their better players were, but you look at the depth in that, and I just think they handled – I don't know what it was.
Yeah, see, with Peel Thunder, though, some – you take their top 5 players, some of them aren't going to be the actual AFL-listed players. Where with us, we Trey Roscoe this year has been very good, but in general, the top 5 players haven't been Eagles, except for the part when we only have 2 players on the field that are Eagles listed players. But they've just got a stronger core around them as well. But I know exactly what the problem was here, and I can't believe you boys haven't picked it up. I'm sorry, but you take Sheed out that side and you've ripped the heart and soul out of the waffle team, mate. And it showed. They felt it, mate. They're like, Sheed in that waffle team is the heart and soul of that side.
So you're saying Sheed should play waffle all the time?
Well, then it could have the same effect of AFL now if you take him out the AFL side. The heart and soul of the club, mate, the heart and soul. But no, realistically, it wasn't we started off okay. It was like, you know, they had the better of us, but it was a bit of a tussle, you know what I mean? And then it was just one-way traffic. And I agree with you, no one really starred. We had performers, but no one really dominated. And it was a bit worrying because, as you said, it was the precursor to the game, you know, the AFL game, obviously the derby. And you're watching that and in the back of your mind, it was just like, oh, I hope this isn't, you know, a sign of things to come. And you were a bit worried and then – thank God the AFL boys just really did perform because, God, I almost forgot about the waffle game after that derby. I was just so elated. But, yeah, it's just a shame because as you've seen the list there, like we are now getting that availability at waffle level, which I love to see. And I believe it was around that 12 mark. And you got to be a bit more competitive. I get Freo right now. You know, they've got better core around it and stuff. And a lot of their players are a lot more developed because even though we got lots of players there, I'll hazard a guess to say half of them are teenage kids, you know what I mean? And if they're Victorian kids that haven't played against men before, they play in their own coach league, the under-18s over there, they don't play waffle footy like a lot of our players do. Even young Hewitt, you know, 2 years ago played for the Black Ducks, which Steve would love to hear, you know. And
yeah.
you had these players with that bit of exposure. I think even Allen back in the day was West Perth, wasn't he? Your team was a. So you do get that exposure there. See, these kids, this is the first time they're playing. Great to see them there. Great to see that amount of numbers in the waffle.
Yeah, 13.
But, yeah.
13 players.
Oh, unlucky number, that's what it'll be. And let's hope this week, you know, there might be one or two more, who knows.
Well, we've got 2 weeks before we decide if we play in the waffle next year. So I'm glad that actually happened because it might have been a false dawn,
yeah,
you know, to win against North Melbourne. So part of me wants to be in that VFL to say we can get better depth players. So, look, yeah, I just thought it wasn't very good. The second half was – they didn't turn up. They didn't come out the room, so –
I didn't think they come out after quarter time.
Well, maybe so, but
– I thought quarter time then we – I mean, True was our best player, he didn't really stand out.
None of them did.
He got possessions, but – yeah, he had no one to give it to from the start. And I remember sending Dan a message, young Archer Reed, is that first, you know, first goal. That was good. He got a first goal, good mark. And
he only played 40 minutes.
He only played three possessions in the first quarter, that's all he had.
But he only played 40 minutes, so, yeah, game time. I don't read into possessions like that on a guy that just come back in the first game. That's why my thing mainly to watch it was Bergil to see how he go. And, you know, he was pretty average, but, you know, he's just getting that ball. Gaff, you know, he was pretty average.
Ryan was just sort of run. Leon Ryan was just running around just getting a kick when he could get it, and that was about it. There was no.
He's just getting miles into his legs.
Yeah.
So, look.
It's a damning comment, but you didn't notice anyone, did you?
No.
You didn't notice anyone in our side.
Not even True.
True's had the best numbers on paper. But I wouldn't say he had a great game. I don't think anyone did, but it's hard to.
His numbers were hard because he had to get the ball hard.
He was in under. But
he still would have been our best performer on the day.
But we've got a bye this week, so we don't have a game. So they'll probably have a hit out between themselves at the club. I don't know what they're going to do there. They might take a travelling party with them for bonding over to the Gold Coast. Who knows? Yeah. You never know what's going on. So the waffle, that was it. Trey Rusco was probably the best of the non-Eagles listed players. 2 goals, 15 disposals, 7 marks. Gilby had 19 disposals and Sparks had 18 again. So and those are the three that aren't on the list that are playing pretty good every week. Look, we talked about the Eagles. We had a win and it was a great win. It was a derby win. We broke the run of 5 wins from Frio. We've got 2 in a row. Can we make it 3 in a row, boys?
We'll find out in the bounce game.
I guess that's what we're going to do. All right. Until then, boys, thanks for joining in.
Thank you.
Let's go, Eagles.
Born is bright from isolation. A fortress built, we cross the nation. Our colors share the West Coast sky.